Hey there, it's Mackenzie, your host of Winning. We're looking for sponsors for the podcast. If you have a business that you would like to promote to thousands of people, send us an email at podcastwinning@gmail.com or send us a message on social media. I cannot wait to hear from you. Now on to the show.
Winning is your guide to making it in business. Join our award-winning host and entrepreneur, Mackenzie Killshaw, and special guests in casual conversations that will educate and inspire you on your business journey. Winning will help you learn the hard lessons the easy way with guidance from celebrated entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's fun. It's informative. It's winning.
Hello, welcome to Winning. I am your host, Mackenzie Killshaw, and today's guest is Sarah Orr. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I'll let you guys know first and foremost, Sarah and I work together. We literally see each other slash talk to each other every day. So this might be a little long-winded, but we're really excited to talk about brand today.
Yes, exactly. We might get off track, but that's okay.
Exactly. It's all important and it's all very useful information. And we're talking about branding and your brand today, which is really exciting to me. Something that I am like really passionate about, finding your brand. And Sarah's a pro on that. Sarah is a graphic designer and branding extraordinaire. She entered the creative industry in 2016 and has been building brands from scratch ever since. And I'll tell you a little something too. She actually designed the cover of our podcast. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
You're welcome. She's done it all. So she's done small boutique agencies, corporate branding, large format printing, tech, and freelancing. And in 2022, she also became an entrepreneur when she started her own creative business, Brandful Studio. So we're going to talk so much about brand today. It's like brand city over here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so ready.
I love it. Okay, so Sarah, you have a really great resume, and I know you've worked for lots of different companies, and you've got your own business, but why don't you start out just by telling us a little bit more about yourself and kind of what you do on a daily basis?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I was born and raised in Saskatchewan, Regina, Saskatchewan. And I kind of started getting interested in graphic design around the age of like 16. And so that kind of transformed into my career. And then now on a daily basis, like literally a daily basis, I am working in Adobe Creative programs for building logos, identifying project management needs for like full brand refreshes or rebrands. I work with a lot of business partners and partnerships to figure out what that co-branding looks like. And I work with a lot of small, like local shops too, to do kind of work with whatever assets they need designed. Like I really touch a lot of different, like all of the brand touch points is kind of what I'm involved in.
Yeah. You're a brand expert.
Yes,
absolutely. You are. I forget about that because we work together every day. And one day I was like, you should be on the podcast. You know so much about brand. And it's true. Yeah. You are a wealth of knowledge. And I think too, in our like time now with social media, even your own personal self, like you have a brand, right? So it's not just your business, it's you as well.
Oh yeah. That's a whole nother topic within brand, right? And I think that kind of like personal branding is always best when built authentically.
Oh, like, 100%.
I've never thought about what's my personal brand? Like, who am I? Like, it just kind of grew naturally and it grew with my business too. And the more I like started networking and connecting with people, it kind of just transformed. And I really identified like, what are my own personal brand values? And like, how do I exude those every day? Like, how do I present those in everything that I do? And like, it took a while to figure that out. But over the years, I eventually got to the point where I am. But yeah, I am like quite confident with my own personal brand.
Yeah. You don't even realize how important it is. Especially for especially for people that are business owners, entrepreneurs, or executives in a business. People are looking at your Instagram. They're looking at your Facebook. Who is this person, right? And you have to present yourself how you truly are and also how you want the world to see you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the most important things. I go back to the program that I graduated from often and go talk to the students that are getting ready to graduate. And one of the most frequently asked questions is like, what's the most important thing that I can do, like, as I start to search for jobs and start to get into the creative industry? And that is definitely figuring out your personal brand and identifying like what's working and what's not working on those social media channels. And like, what are employers going to see when they Google your name?
Yes.
Like, it's huge. Everybody does it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. And like, in all reality, when I had my business and I was looking for employees and I get resumes, I will be the first person to admit that I went to Facebook and put their name in.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And I looked at
everybody.
I looked at mutual friends. I looked at places. I looked at photos, not to be creepy, but what are they presenting?
You have to.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, what are they presenting?
Absolutely. And those technologies are available for anyone to do. And it's so different than how it used to be, right? Like, that never used to be a thing. And it would just be, you'd be judging someone off that, their resume. And then once you see them in person, but now you can get to know a whole person just by going through their social media accounts.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know, it is crazy. And like mutual friends, right? Like, oh, we both know this person. Hey, you know, so-and-so, they applied for a job, right? All of a sudden you're getting a reference from someone that they did not say was a reference.
It's truly all about who you know as well. Like who is in your network. And like, that's almost like the best kind of business advertisement is word of mouth, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that somewhere down the line too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. So you're 16, you're really interested in graphic design. So what happens? You go to school, tell it, like, how do you become a graphic designer? What even happens with that?
Yeah. So when I was in high school, I actually ended up being in a lot of different graphic communications classes, as well as like yearbook editor and like building the yearbook in Adobe creative programs and stuff. But it was never really communicated that being a graphic designer was an actual career choice.
Job.
So yeah. I didn't really think about it because no one ever said it. And so I actually took a year off after high school. And I worked for Booster Juice, and I ended up working at Booster Juice for many, many years. But in that year, I started to research around and I was like, what the heck am I going to do with my life? Like, I have no idea what I want to do. And then I was searching on SciAst website and I saw that there was a program called Graphic Communications. And I kind of started to read into it and I was like, oh yeah, like I used to take all of these courses in high school. Like, I already know how to use the Adobe Creative Suite. I already like know kind of like how to set up a design job for printing. Like, I've done it before.
Yeah.
And then so it kind of just clicked. So I applied, I got in, and then went in a year later because I was on the wait list, and probably the best decision I've ever made. So I spent 2 years getting a diploma in graphic communications at which is now Saskatchewan Polytechnic.
Yep.
And it was probably the best like learning experience of my life. And that like within the first few months solidified that I knew this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you worked for a number of years and then what made you decide to start your own business?
Oh man. I had always freelanced like on the side and it was always through mutual friend connections. Like, hey, my friend needs a logo, or I knew someone that I had worked with at an agency and they were like, hey, could you design this for me? Or I need a brochure made. And so my freelance just really started to grow. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
My freelance was still, luckily, I was very lucky with that. My freelance was still booming. Somehow it didn't affect my freelance. And I was actually at my corporate job at this time in the brand department. And I basically got to the point where I was working 2 full-time jobs. So I was working.
That was fun.
Which you've done it as well.
Like, oh yeah. I know all about this.
Yeah. So I was burning myself out so much. And that was probably 2 straight years of doing 2 full-time jobs. So working my full daytime job, coming home and working all evening till 2 a.m. doing freelancing because it was so busy. So it was actually, I was about to get a promotion at work at my corporate job. And to get this promotion, I did have to interview for it. Yeah. And so it was like the Saturday before this interview. And I remember waking up and Patrick and I, we had just got up. We were still in bed. And I turned to him and I was just so tired because I had been up that night until like 2 a.m. And I was like, turned to him and I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. And he's like, well, then what do you want to do about it? And I was like, I think I'm going to quit my day job. And then that moment, I remember emailing my boss, which sorry to my old boss if she's listening to this. She was fantastic. Emailed my boss and was like, I'm resigning. I did stay for like about 2 months after that, but
yeah,
resigned that morning.
I have to say, like, I've had people on that are like, I got fired. I got laid off. I've never had anyone on that said, I was just going to get a promotion and I quit.
I know. It was a huge turning point. Like, and I don't know what it was in that morning, if it was just complete exhaustion or somehow it was just like the universe was saying it was the right moment. But that moment was like the biggest turning point in my career, was when I decided to flip to full-time freelance. And it was like one of the best decisions ever. And like, I don't regret it one bit.
Yeah. Isn't it so funny though, how, like you said, like, I don't know what it was. I just had to do it. And literally everybody says that, like, I just had to do it. There was not a decision. I just knew I had to do it.
A huge thank you to our sponsor, Just For You Day Spa and Wellness. Just For You is Canada's premier day spa with 5 locations in Alberta and Saskatchewan. The award-winning luxury spa features Leary's Cosmetics and iconic Betty jewelry that you can also purchase online. Visit www.justforyoudayspa.com to book your service or to purchase a gift card.
Yeah. That's crazy. I can't even explain it. And like, I had been contemplating it for a long time, but never had the guts to do it because it's I want stability. I want all the stuff freelances. So you never know what's going to happen. It happened and luckily it worked out well.
Yeah. I think too, I mean, not good for you when you were working literally hours upon hours in a day,
for sure.
But you had proven to yourself that you could do it. Right. Yes. I mean, at that time you knew, like, I have a full-time job doing it in the evening. Yes. I don't need to have my full-time daytime job too.
Yes. Right. And I am very much, actually, you and I are similar. We're workaholics.
No, we're not. Yeah, we're a little bit type A and work a lot.
Yeah.
But we like it.
Exactly.
That's part of it. We enjoy doing it.
Yes. That's the thing is, like, people always said, like, why would you run yourself into the ground? Like, why wouldn't you just stop taking clients on? Like, I got that question so much. And it was just like, I did it because, like, working, and a lot of people won't agree with this, was genuinely also like a hobby for me because I truly enjoyed what I do. Like, I really enjoy it.
No, so, it's true. It's true. And I know it sounds lame when people are like, if you do what you love, it's not work. But it's true. If you're actually really enjoying it, it's not work.
Exactly.
If you hate your job, work is work, right?
Yeah.
But if you love it.
Exactly.
If you love it, it's not.
Exactly. One of my favorite things is like, getting up on a Saturday morning, making a coffee and sitting at my desk and being like, ooh, I get to start a new logo design today. Like, that's fun. That's not work for me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You really need to listen to, like you say, I like too how just going back when you said you took a year off because you weren't sure and then you kind of stumbled across it and were like, I like doing this. I think a lot of us, and especially when we're younger, we're kind of told, like, when you graduate, you got to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You're maybe 17 or 18 years old, but figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Exactly. And
sometimes you figure that out too along the road. I mean, when I graduated high school, like, my whole family was entrepreneurs, but I didn't even know that I could do that for a job. Like,
yeah.
I had exactly. In my head, I had to get a job. And then if I wanted to do something down the line, okay, maybe I could do it then. And I mean, really, that was my path. But now knowing...
I totally agree.
Yeah. Like now knowing, no, you can start your own business today. Like you don't need to wait or... And yeah, it's good to have education experience and all those things are going to help you. But if there's something you love doing, like start now. Like you can do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think like to go along with that point, taking your time to figure out what you want to do. So for example, when I got into design and I started to do that, I wasn't the best designer in my class. And I didn't, like, I wasn't the shining star student. I was good, but I was really stuck figuring out where do I want to go with design? Like, do I want to be a web designer? Do I want to go work more in like a sign shop and be like a pre-production and work with clients and figure out how to create their signage for them? Like there's so many different paths you can go. And I've been lucky enough to be able to work in a lot of different positions that has allowed me to see everything that I could possibly do in this industry, which is really nice. And it took me a while to figure out, and freelance was a big, big win for that. Like brand consulting and designing is like my bread and butter.
Yeah.
And again, it took me a long time to get to there, but you just have to take the time and do it right and be willing to learn and you'll figure it out.
Exactly. And then when you have that thing in your stomach that says, I have to do this, then you have to do it. And even if you're scared shitless, you have to rip the Band-Aid off. Like I say, like rip that Band-Aid off and do it. Right. Because
you do.
I know there's fear. I know there's fear and I know that there are things that it's doubt, like human nature, right? You get doubt in your head, you get nervous and worried about things, but all of those things are just holding you back. Rip that Band-Aid off and go.
I like, even with freelance, I still have doubt to these days, right? There's good months, there's bad months, there's good days, bad days. Like some projects go really well, some don't go so well. And it's like, you just have to realize that the good outweighs the bad, right? And you have to be able to evaluate those situations and know that not everything's going to be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's life, because whether you're an entrepreneur, small business owner, or you have a paying job, it's same stuff, right? Like, I always say business is just solving problems every day. That's all it is.
That's exactly
right. That's all you do. You solve problems all day. And none of them are like rocket science, right? Like you put the research, the time and effort in, you're fine. You're going to solve that problem, move on, and tomorrow solve a new problem.
Oh, yeah. And like everyone says, like, isn't like owning your own business must be like the best thing ever. And it is awesome.
Yep.
But it's also really hard.
Yep. Yep. 100%.
And there's so many days that you struggle. But yeah, if you have the drive and you have the love for what you do, you don't even like, yes, you encounter those experiences, but you just get past them.
Yeah. And I think too, like, I never want to discourage people when they're listening, because like, this is real talk, right? Like this is real conversation. It's real life. Yeah. Being an entrepreneur is hard, but the good far outweighs the hard.
Always.
Miles.
Always.
Miles apart, right? And you have hard days no matter what you do. So why not have more better days? Right?
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. And like having your own business is just such an accomplishment. And like you said, the good really does outweigh the bad or the hard days. And you'll see it once you get there. You just have to get there.
Exactly. That's the thing. And especially when you're first starting out, right? First starting.
Yeah.
But it's like anything. You learn to ride a bike, you fell off, you got back on. All the things, you're 1 year old, you're learning to walk, you fall down, you step back up. Like all the things that we first start, no one picks up a guitar and just plays a song. You learn, right?
Exactly.
And I think we're hard on ourselves because we think after like, oh, I should just be able to do it. And I shouldn't have problems and I shouldn't ask for help.
Yeah.
Because I'm the boss or I'm the owner. No, it's not like that.
No, it's really not. There's just like, there's definitely times where I've encountered a project doesn't go well with a client. And that'll happen. And it still happens to me. And that just means likely either values aren't aligned, or you're not seeing eye to eye on something, or maybe they're not willing to take your professional like criticism or anything like that. But it's, and those projects feel devastating. And yes, those make you question, like, what am I doing? Is this the right path for me? But it's taking those, like, those experiences and turning them into like a learning experience for your clients to come, right? And it's hard to have that view on it. And it did take me a while to have that view on it. I'd always be like, oh, this client is just like wrong about this. Like, I'm right. And it's like figuring out how to compromise or look at like a situation and be able to adapt with it.
And yeah, exactly.
It takes a while.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, there's always a rainbow at the other side of the rain, because your next client that you just sent their podcast cover to, that I literally opened that email and was like, oh my God, I love all of these. Like, how am I going to pick? Right. And then you get that where I reply back and say, Sarah, these are amazing. Like, I love everything about this.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That always outweighs it. Always.
100%. It does. It's like anything in life. The good's better. The good's way better. Exactly. Okay. So talking about, I kind of like how you had there, like, you're talking about values aligning and all that stuff. So I want to just like dig right into brand now, because I am so passionate about it, because I believe your brand is all encompassing of you. So whether it's you personally or your business, your brand really is speaking to the world who you are. So let's talk about brand. And I think for a lot of people, they think your brand is your logo, or your brand is the color that you use, right? So why don't we just do a little brand 101 here? And why don't you tell us what exactly is brand? What does it entail and what does it include?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people view brand in a different way. Like you said, they think it's your logo, your colors, maybe the pictures that you post, like that's it, right?
Yeah.
But there's actually two really big parts to brand. And this is how I like to split it up. Some people might like to split it up differently. So I see brand as there's your physical identity, so the visual identity of it, which is your logo, your colors, your typography. That is a big part of it. But then there's also the emotional side of it, right? The emotional identity of it. How does the brand make people feel when they buy a package from you, when they see a post on or an ad creative online? So there's physical and there's emotional. And then within those two, what I think a lot of people don't realize is within emotional and within physical, there is how people view it externally of your business or company, so your customers.
Yep.
And what your employees see it as, so the internal side of it, which a lot of people forget about. Employer brand is huge, but so many people, even for like a small business, it's important. If you have two employees, and Mac, you would know this, but like, even if you have just two employees, they need to understand what your brand values are, how you should speak to a customer. They need to see that all the documents are branded. Like that, those brand touch points need to be evenly spread out internally and externally. So important.
Exactly. I totally agree. And it's really funny because now, I don't know when we're airing these episodes, right? Like this is probably going to air 6 weeks from one now when we're recording it. But I did another episode on leadership. And so people might have already heard it. I don't know. We'll see. But basically, long and short of it is that we're talking about your employees and your leadership, right? And with your employees, so much of that, which is your brand, is what are our values? What's important to us? What do we stand for? What, you know, what's acceptable? What's reasonable? All these things that you have with your employees. And if you can't communicate that with your employees, how on earth do you communicate that with your clients?
That's exactly it. Exactly it. And so many people forget about that touch point. Like, if you are not fully branded internally, and your employees don't understand exactly what your values are or what your attributes are, or how you speak to customers, your tone of voice, like, how do you ever expect people outside of that organization to believe it?
Yep, exactly. It's confusing. No, they don't understand you. And if someone doesn't understand you, do you think they're going to shop from you? Do you think they're going to come to you to get their service, whatever your business is? No, they're not.
Exactly.
I don't relate to that brand. I don't understand it. I'm not supporting them. That's what happens.
Yep. That's exactly it. And it's so common. And I think, especially with me working with a lot of small businesses, small business owners don't think that that applies to them. That's where I see it like most commonly. Also in like larger corporations as well, I've seen it. But small business is almost more important.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Because you get those loyal customers that'll stick around forever and ever, but you need to make sure that that brand alignment is there internally and externally.
Exactly. And it all goes back to the very beginning, right? So like what is important to you as a business and how you portray that to your employees and then to your clients. And it's all just kind of like a little circle that comes back around.
Yeah. On the emotional side, what is your vision? What's your mission? You know, what's the problem that you're trying to solve and how are you solving it for your customers, right? That's all within the mission and vision statements. And then what are the attributes that go along with your brand? You know, are you a quirky brand? Are you more of a calm or like, are you more serious? Like,
are you funny?
Those all play into how people take in your brand. And
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. And I think you're right. I think it's often forgotten or frankly, not even thought about. Maybe it's not even that people are forgetting it. They just don't even know how important it is. And if you're starting out with, like when I started out, I had 3 employees and myself when I first started. And it's like I grew all of a sudden. I had 6 employees at one location. And then a year later, I had a second location where I had 6 other employees. And all of a sudden, there was like 14 people that I'm, you know, that work for the company and the brand. And they all have to know the exact same things and feel the exact same things and know everything that my business was about in order to sell the business. Right.
Yeah.
So just starting with 4 grew within 2 years to like triple, more than triple, almost quadruple, right? The size. So your growth can, I don't want to say get out of control, but if you don't have these things in place when you start, your growth can go crazy and then it's really hard to go back, right?
Yes, you can get lost very quickly. And I think that's one thing that I've realized that I am really good at when working with clients and like different corporations and stuff is kind of the more organizational and structure of like bringing a brand in or rebranding or refreshing a brand.
Yeah.
What's the internal communication like, you know?
Yes.
How are you spreading the word of your brand to your employees and to your customers? That's a huge part, another huge part that people just don't ever think about. And like, sure, you could build a cool brand. You could have your mission and your vision laid out. You can have everything in a nice document or presentation. But if no one looks at it, if it's not internally communicated, that's not going to help anything. Like,
no, I know.
Just sitting there collecting dust, right? So that internal communication is a huge part of brand and making sure that it's successful.
I agree. I worked for a huge international food company before I opened my name not, I won't mention it, but go check out my LinkedIn. but I liked working for them, but they did a whole rebranding. So I'm talking new packaging. Yeah. So individual product packaging, box product packaging, new ad strategy, new, like the whole new look for everything, which was really exciting. But basically we had like this is before video call, but we had like a 45 minute full, like teleconference phone call. Not saying my age here, but before there was FaceTime or anything. But it was basically like, we have new packaging, we have new sizes, whatever. Here's all the information. Does anybody have any questions? No. Okay. Thanks, guys. It rolls out this date. And like, literally that was it. And it was like, why are we doing this? Why are, like, what's the, and we weren't kind of told anything, just there's new packaging. And then we would go to stores and be like, hey, we've got new packaging. Look how pretty it was. And it was nice, like, and it was more modern and stuff. But like, everybody's like, oh, why did they change? And you know, you're like,
oh,
just time for a refresh. Like,
yeah,
there was no direction. Yeah. It was just
that's
like,
unfortunate.
It was, because I thought the changes were great. Like it looked great. It was a new feel. It kind of became more modern. It was, you know, a really traditional brand. And then it kind of became a little bit cooler, but like there was no reasoning behind it. And I know from some, I have a marketing degree. I know there was a lot of behind the scenes that went into that. And they just kind of were like, plonk, here you go. Like,
that breaks my heart to hear. That's so unfortunate. Like when I was at a larger corporation, I also won't name names. Go ahead and check my LinkedIn, like Matt said. we were going through a rebrand, which unfortunately actually didn't go through just due to politics and stuff. But we had gone through figured out the whole rebrand, went through everything, mission, vision, updated everything. And we had actually outlined, this would have been super successful if it had gone through, what our internal communication plan was for our employees. And so it was even something as simple as the day of our launch, setting out on all of the employees' desks at all the locations a brand new like swag packaging for every single employee. Like something so small. And it could be like a water bottle and a notebook.
Yeah.
But it's just like
something.
Hey, this is a big day for us. Here's our new brand. Here's what we want you to communicate to people. Just something so small can make such a big difference.
I agree. I fully agree. Oftentimes it's the smallest things that make the biggest impact and we don't even think about them.
Yes. Yeah. So important.
And that's your brand, because now as an employee, you're like, oh, that's so sweet. I got a whatever with our new brand on it. And then you take it to the gym and you show your friend and then you're talking about it and it's like exciting and happy, you know, and it's not just a plunk, here you go. Like, we're changing this. Don't ask questions.
Exactly. It's looking at how do you build brand advocates within your organization, right? That was the other thing we looked at, was like, who within departments can we pull to be that main brand advocate to be able to circulate all of our internal messaging to the rest of their teams?
Kind of like the influencer before there was influencers.
Influencer within your business.
Yeah. I love it. I love
it. But makes a huge difference.
That's something that we should... I'm going to write this down, because we're going to come back to that with influencers, because influencer marketing is huge now, and how do they relate to your brand? So we'll circle back to that. I want to talk about why your brand is important. So to your business, why is your brand important to your success?
Oh my God. For every single reason. Brand is
all the things.
Brand should always be looked at the hub of your business, right? Every single department, every single piece of paper you put out, every single process that's built has a brand touch point, right? Any communication piece. So to have that foundation built of a brand right at the top, and you have your web of all your departments, organizations, employees, processes webbed out from under that, that creates a strong business right there. So
what is
that messaging across all of those little parts of the web, right? What is the brand touch point within your processes? Oh, is it like every time we create a new process, is it a branded document with the logo at the top and, you know, like our footer, like just little things like that, that make a huge difference. But yeah, I would say for the success of your business is like setting up a strong brand that can be the hub of every aspect of your business, right? Every brand touch point.
Yep. And I think too, it's like your brand, which I think in my head, a lot of times I think almost my brand is my corporate culture, right? Yep. Like it's totally. It's kind of, it's not the same exactly, but it's really closely entwined. So if you're the leader and you're like, oh, it doesn't matter what we do about that. Oh, it doesn't matter. So then all of a sudden your staff member is helping a client and they're like, oh, those details don't matter, right? Like it just trickles down from
exactly
the top to the to everybody else. I don't want to say the bottom because I don't think there's ever people on the bottom. But it trickles down, and then all of a sudden, what does your client think? Oh, well, details don't matter to them. Oh, well, they say a lot of times like, oh, that's not a big deal or whatever. And all of a sudden your brand is devalued to that client.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you also within the few steps there of it getting to the client, you lose the respect of your employees, right?
Because 100%. Then
they don't understand it. They don't know what's going on. They don't know that they should be communicating to certain people with kind of a quirky attitude because that's one of our brand attributes.
Yes.
So it, and then that gets to the customer and it's just like the whole experience is ruined.
Yes. And if an employee thinks that their leader doesn't care, guess what? An employee does not care.
Well, 100%.
Like, sorry, ding dong, hard like conversation here. But if my leader doesn't care, I don't care. Therefore, if I don't care, how do I portray that to the client that I don't care?
Yeah, exactly. You pay your employees to be there, but they don't really owe you or your brand anything.
No.
So if you're there not giving a crap about what the brand is, or like telling them what to do or what to say or anything like that, giving them those resources that they need, they're not going to follow through with that to the client, right?
No.
They're not going to care.
Nope. If they don't believe it, they are not going to do it.
Nope. And exactly.
No bonus, no extra day off. None of that's going to change. Nothing. I can tell you right now, not changing.
Exactly. That's going all the way back into employer branding, which is a whole nother part of it, right? That everyone forgets about. But yes, I totally agree.
Yeah, exactly. So consistency, that's another huge thing with brand. So obviously it goes back to what we're talking about. It's kind of like a mom saying to their kid, don't swear. And then the mom swears, right? Yes. So same deal there, but how about consistency of your brand that's outward facing? So that what a client would see.
Absolutely. So it goes to both on, like the physical identity of it and the emotional identity of it, right? So physical identity, the eye is trained to look for consistency. That's human nature. We want things to be organized in a pattern. Like everybody is trained, their brain is triggered that way, right?
Yep.
So
mine especially,
when you
so
think about, yeah, especially type A like us, absolutely.
Yep.
So then when you think about, when you're looking at brand assets and you're looking at these ads that are coming out and videos and social posts, and you start to see the same type everywhere, right? That's why brands choose specific typography and they choose
font.
Their specific,
font if you're me.
Font, yes. And then their specific color palette, right? Okay, we use this shade of pink, the shade of green, the shade of blue, the shade of red. Like that's our brand. People start to recognize those. And then the style of photography. Is it consistent throughout what you do? Like there's so many things with the physical identity of a brand that we're just, brands do on purpose because we're trained to look for those without even thinking about it. So that's important. And then same with like emotional. If your messaging starts to go this way and that way consistently, people will notice it.
Oh,
you know, 100%. If you identify as a brand that's very forgiving and nurturing and like, you handhold your customers. And there's a lot of brands like that, right?
Yep.
But then all of a sudden one day a customer comments on a Facebook post and they're a little sassy and you come back with a sassy remark, it's going to blow up on the internet because people are going to be like,
what?
Who's in customer service there all of a sudden? Like,
yes.
Right?
Exactly.
People. So like, it's not that no one is automatically looking for consistency. They're not thinking, oh, their messaging is different here. But the humans are just naturally designed to see that.
Yeah.
On the
it's
emotional
stand
side
out.
And the physical side. It will. It totally will.
Exactly. And I mean, if you think of some of the biggest brands in the world, their consistency, I wish that right now I could hold up a bunch of pictures, but that's not going to happen right now. But I mean, if I hold up a big, giant, golden M, you know it's McDonald's. if I hold up a white check mark or a swoosh, you know it's Nike, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are so many brands in our world that have just dominated in consistency and that recognition. Like, I don't even have to know if I see, this is going to make me so Saskatchewan, but if I see John Deere green color, all I think of is John Deere. If you're not a farm kid like me, that's a tractor that they're all bright green. Literally every item they make is bright green. It's John Deere green. It's not John Deere green. It's F7038, whatever the color code is, but that is John Deere green. And so the reason that those brands have gotten to where they are is they consistently show you the color. They consistently show you the logo, right? The golden arches, the M, that is McDonald's logo. They consistently show you that it's everywhere. It's on their straws. It's on their cups. It's on their wrappers for their burger. It's on their building. It's on their ads. It's everywhere, right?
Exactly. Yeah. McDonald's product photography, all of their stuff. If you took the label off of those boxes, off of the fries box and off of the burger box, and you just saw the burger sitting there with the fries container beside it with no logo on it, you'd still know it's McDonald's.
100%.
Because consistently over the years, they've been able to keep that product styling consistent. And then they've built it to a point where they actually don't even need their logo anymore and people will know it's them.
Exactly.
Which is the ultimate goal.
That's why their marketing team is billionaires now, because look what they have done.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you pick? I don't even have this as a question that I sent to you earlier, but how do you pick your logo and your colors?
Oh my gosh. a lot of, like, I can kind of walk you through the process that I work through with clients when we're working on that. So basically what we do is we kind of look at, first we get the groundwork of what's your mission and vision. What are your attributes? Are you a fun and quirky brand? Are you a calm or serious brand? All of those things. And that kind of starts to play out in a psychological way. Like, what colors are we going to use? Yep. So if you're a brand that's like, you know, we're a real trustworthy brand. We deal with your finances. We want to be trustworthy. We want to make sure everything's user-friendly, secure.
Yeah.
Blue or green, because green with finance or blue is a very trustworthy color, is likely going to be chosen, right?
Yeah.
So kind of looking into the psychological aspect behind it when we start to talk about those brand attributes is the first thing. That's when I usually pick a main color based off those. And then I start to look at complementary colors and the psychology behind those additional colors. So usually for a brand, it always depends, but usually it's around like 3 to 5 colors is what we'll pick. And that's a good base to get them to start having consistency, right? Don't stray from those colors. So then
100%.
So then after that, we start to talk about what is symbolic within your business that we could start to portray within a logo or an icon. Is there a symbol that you think of, right? The M for McDonald's. Or is there not? Are you a brand that's just going to have a word mark and we just make a custom type font for you? Because there's not a symbol that we need to portray. It's the word that is your
that's
symbol
important.
In a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Right. So it's so different for each and every client, but it really is more looking into like the psychological aspects of it.
It's so cool because that just goes right back to the beginning again. What is your mission? What are your values? Your logo, your colors, all of that should be a reflection of that, right?
Yeah. And that's the groundwork. And again, like we talked about in that structure and that web is like, when brand is your hub, your mission and your vision and your attributes and your tone of voice, that all webs down to the different aspects of your business and always should. So that like always identifying what those are first is more important than the visual identity.
Yeah. It's funny because when you're talking about colors, a brand that Sarah and I work with at our day job that we love, just had a rebrand. And when I asked the owner of the company, like about the rebrand and stuff. And she's like, to be honest with you, when I first started, I just picked colors I liked. And her and I like kind of had a giggle over it because she's like, now I know like how dumb that was. But she's like, then I just didn't even know. And so if you're listening to this and you already have a business and you're not just starting and you're like, but I have a brand and I have a logo and I have colors, or else I don't have any colors, I'm just using whatever the heck colors I feel like. It's not too late. I mean, you can do a rebrand.
Of course. Of course. And it doesn't even have to be a full rebrand. It can be what's called a brand refresh. And that's just, it's so important if you're looking at evaluating your brand, bring someone in that is not, has no relation to your brand whatsoever, is not familiar with it. You need that outside perspective, right? And you need someone like myself, like a brand consulting expert. And they can come in, evaluate how much do we actually need to change within your brand? What's working, what's not? Do we need to completely revamp it? Or is it just updating what you currently have? Do we need to add in some new colors? Do we need to just tweak your current icon because it can't be scaled at a really small size? Like just the smallest things like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And maybe too, like maybe you're a company that's been around for 100 years and you're never changing your name. You're never changing your symbol or whatever, but you're like, we're 100 years old, but we want people in 2023 to know we're relevant. So how do we make this a little more modern or a little more cool or whatever they're right? Like now everybody's going to be looking at every commercial on TV and stuff and being like, oh, look how their brand's changed over the years. But that's why, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's also interesting that you mentioned like going more, we need to be more modern or like we need to get with the times. I always hear clients say that, but there's actually a lot of clients that want to go back to that vintage style.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's super popular, right? And it's bringing that kind of feel of nostalgia and like,
yes,
that's definitely like a popular trend and has been for the last few years. But yeah, so like it can go both ways.
Yeah. And maybe you need, like, maybe part of what you need or want to do is boast. We've been around for 100 years. Like we're not going anywhere.
Exactly.
We're cool. Even if our company's 100 years old, we're still cool.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I've dealt with rebrands that go both ways. Companies that are like X amount of years old and they've been around for a long time. And some of them are like, nope, we want to go completely brand new, fresh, modern, clean, like we need to like start over. We want to show that we know we have this many years of experience, but like we're fresh and we're new. And then they've had like complete opposite where they're like, no, we want to know that we're a tried and true business. And like, we've been here since 1864 and we're still going strong. And so yeah, it's always interesting, like diving into like questions with those brands and seeing like, where we think they'll fall within like a rebrand and then what the actual final product is.
Right?
So it's usually like quite different.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I always think of like Ford trucks, right? Like if you ever look at them, that F, it's like a signature.
Oh, yeah.
That was Henry Ford's, like how he wrote his name, right? And like that's never changed. Yeah. And you know what it is. You see that F, you know what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's iconic. And I do get a lot of questions about like, how do you create a brand that is iconic?
And that's a good question.
It's a hard one to answer because there's no formula for it. There really isn't. And I think it does come back to laying that foundation work of your brand. And again, the emotional aspect of it is more and maybe about the same, but just as important as the physical identity of it, right?
For sure.
So having that foundation is what will set you up for success creating that iconic brand, no matter what your physical identity looks like.
I agree. And I think then when you're genuine and honest and true and transparent and all of the things that, like, if you think about it in business, it's all the things that also make you a good friend and a good employee and a good parent and a good spouse and all the other things is being your real self and true and honest. And when you're all of those things, your brand's going to skyrocket.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's staying true to yourself and your brand values, right?
100%. I just want to touch back a little bit on influencer and brand because like influencer marketing is also a whole other episode on its own. But so many companies now, and even small business, when I had my small business, I used influencers a lot. But so many people now are literally paying influencers, so someone on social media that has a lot of followers, or a micro influencer, which is someone that has followers but not as many. But what is the importance on who you pick for an influencer to your brand?
So obviously having that groundwork done for your brand, like I keep saying and mentioning, do they align with your brand values? So again, you have to make sure you have those outlined to be able to identify that when you're talking to a person. And you can figure that out pretty quick when you're meeting with someone. Like Mac, for example, when we're sourcing influencers, we'll have that initial meeting with them and can usually tell pretty quick if they're someone we would want to work with. So being able to align, they need to align with your brand values. And yeah, there's so many aspects to this, but it's like when we talked about how their own, like your own personal brand is just as important too, because if you're searching for influencers, that's almost like they're getting a job from that, right? They're almost 100%. Applying to be, it's like a job. So like, what is their personal brand? What are they putting out on the internet? And what they're putting out, does that align with your company?
Yeah. And I'll tell you right now, if I'm going to use an influencer, I am interviewing them. I'm having a video call. This is not a DM that's like, hey, what are your rates to post for me? Okay, thanks. Here's $500 and do a post. No, I'm interviewing them to say, what are your values? What's important to you? What, like, what are your stance on, like, whatever your brand is, you're going to ask them the questions pertaining to you, right? So for me, what's important to you? Like, what's an important thing? So when I'm at clothing store, I will say, what's important to you in clothing? And if they're like, I want to feel awesome in it. I want to look great in it. And that's what I want. I want someone that wants to look good. And like, I'm not talking about their size. I'm not talking their size two. And they want to look, no, they want to feel good wearing what they're wearing. That was my mission as a person selling clothes. I wanted women to feel good in the clothes they bought.
Exactly.
Right. So if they said, I just want to look good and I don't care, like all I want is a paycheck and you send me something I look hot in, I'm not going to use them because that doesn't align with me.
You can pretty quickly filter those people out, right?
Yes.
Again, if you have figured out what those brand values are, you can pretty quickly see if they're aligned with that or not.
Yeah. So just in like a summary here, your brand is basically an all-encompassing of you, and you need to start from square one with your employees on board, portraying your mission and vision. It is not your logo and your colors anymore. I mean, maybe it was years ago.
Yes, it's so changed. And I think it's important to remember, like we were talking about when you're trying to figure out what you want to do for your career, take your time, learn, and really understand, right, before you make any decisions. So figure out what that foundation is. What's the emotional side of your brand? How are you making people feel? How do you want them to feel?
Yes. What problem are you solving? And,
And then you can tackle the visual identity of it.
Yeah. So I should have maybe asked you this question 1 minute ago. Because maybe this is the answer, but maybe not. I don't know. Most important lesson that you can share?
Yeah, it's probably kind of just what I said. Well, is it like most important lesson in general or for branding?
Well, I mean, towards branding, or if you want to tell young Sarah something on her entrepreneurial journey.
Way too many things. we'll go with that. I would say kind of just what I said like a minute ago was, like slow down. Take your time to figure out the foundation, and that will set you up for success. And bring someone in. Like, don't, it's okay to try and do it on your own, but try to bring someone in that has an outside perspective, because it will benefit you. It really will. And if you're going through even like a rebrand or a refresh, reach out to your customers.
Yes.
They'll be able to help you the most.
I love that. Always ask your customers. We don't ask our customers feedback enough.
I know.
It's just
like,
everything's great. Well, did you ask them? Because maybe they're all talking about you, something they don't like, and you just don't know about it. Right?
Yeah. They're like, they're your best resource.
100%. And most of them will tell you exactly what they think.
Yeah.
right?
Exactly.
Send them a survey. I tell you, I did it before and I was shocked at all of the things that I was like, wow, I never knew that was so important to them. And guess what I did?
Exactly.
Started making decisions based on that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And you reaching out to your customers, that's a step in the right direction for the emotional side of your brand, is like connecting with them, right?
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
They'll feel heard and they'll feel like they've been seen. And like, that's a huge like leap forward for your brand if you do that.
Yeah. I love that. Is there anything that you wish you had known?
That I wish I had known. Yeah, this one's like not really directly related to branding, but I wish I had known when I was going into the industry. It's a hard industry. It's a really, really tough industry, and it can break you down a bit. And there's a lot of people and a lot of things that'll break you down within the industry. And I think what I wish I would have known was to stay true to myself throughout it all, because there were parts where, you know, I was trying to impress a boss or like trying to impress a client, and I strayed away from my own brand values.
Yep.
And that was when I was younger and still learning. So I don't beat myself up about it, but like,
no,
that is one thing I wish I knew.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Because the thing is, as you get older and you mature in age and wisdom and everything else, you see those now as like, oh, dang it. I should have just said, no, I disagree. Or, no, this is what it is, or, you know, and now you
exactly.
would, right?
Yeah. Like, oh, I should have stood up for that project, and I should have like spoke my mind about it, and I shouldn't have just like been a mute mouse in the corner, or like, maybe something happened within your organization and you wish you would have like spoke about it or made a different change or something. But yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I think that's great advice just for life too, right?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, we've all been there. We've all had times where you're like, you know what? I'll just won't say anything because it's just an easier path.
Easier.
Yeah. And, but now you're like, well, easy doesn't do anything. So I'm just going to say it how it is, because that's like, just being honest is the best, but you know that as you get older.
Yeah. And like, just don't be afraid to say something. Like, what's like, truly, what's the worst that can happen? Right?
You're not going to drop dead.
No, like you'll be okay.
Yeah.
So
rip
just
the Band-Aid.
Speak your mind. Yeah. Speak your mind. Stay true to your values.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? What I always think too is like, you're not going to go move backwards. Worst case scenario is you say, I disagree with that. Or you say, hey, why don't we try this? We've never done this before. Or whatever it is that you're doing. Worst case scenario, you're not going to get a shut down hard. And if you do, probably you're not in the right atmosphere to begin with. Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
And then you should make a change, which is a whole other episode.
So many episodes are going to come from this episode.
Oh my gosh. I have a continual list of things, or people message and ask questions. So I have a continual list, and like, honestly, it's long. Like, I probably have 2 years of episodes that I could record. So
that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it is good. It's great. I love doing this. Sarah, I loved having you on. I see you, I haven't talked to you every day, but this was fun because this is like a total different dynamic. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at Bramful Studio. We also have a website, bramfulstudio.com, or you can just find me on LinkedIn and like feel free to reach out if anyone has questions or wants advice or something, just Sarah Orr on LinkedIn.
I love it. And let me just tell you, because Sarah did not pay me to say this, but like I said, she designed our cover and some photos and stuff for us. And you were so great to work with. And I've worked with people for years on different stuff like this. And you were awesome. You asked me questions. I gave you the answers. And you sent me back things that were like in my head, which I don't know how you did that. But it just showed how aligned you were and how you really understood what I told you. And as a person who's like had different businesses and logos and brands and all that, like it is fun actually to do it, but it really made it a breeze. So thank you from a personal note, and thank you for being our guest too.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Check Sarah out. She is amazing. If you're interested in learning more about branding, you need a logo, you want to do a refresh, whatever, pop Sarah a message. I know she'll be happy to help you. And I want to thank you for listening to the episode, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for listening to Winning. Be sure to subscribe to get all of our new episodes. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others. Post about it on social media and leave a rating and review wherever you listen to Winning. To catch all of the latest from us, you can follow Winning Podcast on Instagram at @winning_podcast, Facebook at Winning Podcast, and on Twitter at Winning Pod. Winning was created and is produced by me, Mackenzie Kilshaw. Music created by Summer Furby. Editing by Seth Armstrong. Special thanks to Shauna Foster for voicing our opening. And of course, a huge thank you to this episode's guest. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode.